meeting. Maybe we should just formally find out if there are any apologies. The chairperson's apologies have already been raised. I'm sure that, that can be noted. Are there any other apologies? Yes.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm going to leave a bit early, but the team will remain under the leadership of Nkosi Mavunga, and Nkosi Makhangu is also on his way to join that.
Also, Nkosi Cebikhulu sent in apologies, not doing too well.
Okay. It indicated that he was not well yesterday. Are there any other apologies? No, thank you very much. We then look at the bill, as was indicated yesterday. We'll ask the Secretary to introduce the matter, and what will then follow after that is the whole question of looking at the bill clause by clause or section by section. And right at the end, we'll then have to answer the question, what is it that needs to be done going forward in relation to the matter under consideration. So we'll start with the Secretary going through the motion of desirability.
I'll be reading the motion of desirability. Motion of desirability on the Traditional Leadership and Governance Framework Amendment Bill, Bill 8 of 2007. It is in the opinion of the committee that legislation is desirable to amend the Traditional Leadership and Governance Framework Act of 2003 so as to make provision for extended time frames within which kingship and queenship councils and traditional councils must be established, to provide for extended time frames within which community authorities have to be disestablished, to align the term of office of tribal authorities, traditional councils and kingship or queenship councils within the term of the National House of Traditional Leaders, and to provide for matters connected therewith and that the bill referred to the committee be taken as a basis.
Can I find out if we are happy or if there are any other comments that you want to make? Yes.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. We are happy with what has been presented to us because yesterday we had an interaction with different stakeholders on this matter. Thank you.
Yes.
Chair, would you note the concern of the Democratic Alliance with regard to the desirability of this legislation? We heard yesterday about how the legislation is actually undesirable to a number of stakeholders.
So we note your concern. Perhaps we should then move on, having noted the concern of the support of the ANC component of the committee. Move to page one of the bill. We'll start with the first part, the clause one. So let's go to clause one there. Are there any comments on clause one?
Chair, can I just get clarity? Are we working with this document that says proposed amendments?
That's one way of doing it.
Well, I need to know which document we're working with.
Here's the actual bill. I think we should look at the actual bill. That's to avoid all the... problems.
Okay, so we're working with this document then?
The bill.
The bill. Okay. Thank you.
So I'm trying to find out if there are any comments on clause one. The other document is meant as a cross-reference. Yes. Yeah. The document that we have, so we have the bill in our possession, and then we have the comments and proposals from the National House of Traditional Leaders. Are there any comments that anyone wants to make on clause one? Why don't we get the National House of Traditional Leaders to comment, given that they've already submitted the document? Yes, on clause one. Yeah.
Thank you, Chair. I'm mandated by my leadership here, both Nkosi Mahlangu and Nkosi Mavhunga. Chair, what the National House was proposing is that we substitute clause one with a proposal on the amendment of section 3 capital A of the Act by section 5 of Act 23 of 2003, thereby Chairperson changing on clause 1A, thereby changing from 1 year to 2 years in the recognition established a kingship or queenship and other related Chairperson amendments in terms of the kingship that has been confirmed by the Commission in accordance with this Act prior to its amendment must within 2 years from the commencement of the Traditional Leaders and Governance Framework Amendment Act establish a kingship or a queenship concept and thereby indicating Chairperson the 40% of the elected democratically members of the traditional council as contemplated in paragraph D. And going on, we'll see each traditional community, we are removing community there and replacing the community by the council. Because in this case, kings preside over different traditional leaders who have traditional councils that are composed by 60-40. And we are therefore saying each traditional council falling within the area of jurisdiction of the kingship or queenship concern must elect one person from the elected members of that council. So we are basically saying the 40% that was elected from different traditional councils must still find expression in the kingship council in terms of the 40% being nominated from the different traditional council to serve in the kingship council. That is what we're saying, Chair. And from and to serve as a member is no.
Yes. Please proceed.
Member, provide we therefore adding that provided that where the number of persons so elected are less than the number of persons contemplated in paragraph C2, the traditional council must each elect one additional person from the elected members of the council. She was still further committing on the representation of the elected members, that is the 40% from the different TCs to form a kingship council. We furthermore saying provided further that the number of persons so elected exceed the number of members contemplated in paragraph D, the persons elected by traditional council must elect from among themselves the number of persons contemplated in paragraph D. We're saying then, Chair, if there are, if, for instance, the kinship council requires 40, and the actual traditional leaders or traditional councils within a kinship jurisdiction are 50. Those elected, those one elected from the different TCs will then meet and elect the required number. That is basically what we are saying, Chair. But the crux of the matter is the representation of the elected portion of the TCs in the kingship council, so that it doesn't lose that element of the 40% that is prevailing in the TCs. That is the amendment, Chair, that we are submitting.
Any other comment? Yes, Miriam.
Chairperson, two comments on this. First of all, there was a proposal at a meeting of this committee several weeks back that the ratio be flipped around, that it be 40% appointed and 60% elected. I don't see that being included here. Secondly, Chairperson, the concern that I have is that by doing what is being proposed by the National House of Traditional Leaders, you're effectively allowing the traditional leaders to elect themselves, and you are diminishing democracy in the traditional community. In other words, you're not giving the people on the ground the right to choose who they want to represent them on the kingship or queenship council. And that to me is problematic. I mean, this bill was drafted, or the act was drafted the way it was, in order to ensure that the people are represented. And if we start saying that the traditional leaders can choose from amongst themselves and the traditional councils can choose from amongst themselves, we're basically saying we're going to elect our own people and we're not going to elect who the people want. And that, to me, is very problematic. In terms of the key word in that clause is democratically elected. Democratically means by the will of the people. And I think we need to factor that in here.
Yes.
Chairperson, I just want to correct something here. We must not confuse democracy as if democracy is in violation of the customary law. Kingship, traditional leadership are structures based on customary law and indigenous law, which is not in conflict with the Constitution. It is operating in tandem with the Constitution. Thank you.
Yes.
Chairperson, maybe what we need to understand here and differentiate is that here what they are saying we are going to replace, it's about the kingship council, not the traditional council. They are saying people who are going to serve in the kingship council should be the people who have been elected by the people from the traditional council. So they represent the people at the level of the kingship council. So we must not confuse this thing as if we are saying the kingship council should go back again and elect people. People have been elected from the traditional council.
Let me just point out what is being proposed here. Is it a separate model? Because we are a democratic, a constitutional state. We can't have, you know, a model for rural areas away from what the Constitution is. Taking the powers away from the community, I think that one is unconstitutional.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. Good morning, and to committee members. I think we are confusing things because most of these comments that honorable members are talking about are comments that were made on the traditional and cohesion leadership bill, of which that's a separate bill. We are talking about amending the Framework Act, of which there's not been any comments that have been made by any other person in relation to flipping or not flipping the representation. So it's a completely different...
It was made by Honorable Matsefe in a committee meeting.
Yeah, but even if it was made by him, I think I didn't want to.
Can you really come to an understanding early on in the meeting that if any member, any person present at this meeting wants to speak, you please lift up your hand and I'll note you.
No, you're not.
You're not now. Now, Kusumaslam is still speaking.
Thanks, Chair. I wanted to make that clear that we are dealing with a different piece of legislation, of which is completely different from the KLB. And also, I, as much as one respects the comments of the committee, I think it should not be a member that seems to want to force a view on how the structure should be. I mean, earlier we said that you know, there are people that have commented in terms of what they are proposing it should be, but there is a whole lot of other people that have not commented because they are happy with what is there in traditional council. So I just wanted to caution around that as much as we are transforming the institution, but we should not dilute it to a point where it does not become a traditional council anymore. You know, it becomes something else that we don't know what it is.
Good morning, Chair, honourable members. Thank you very much. I want to just quickly, briefly explain the additional proposals that the House submitted. If you look at the additional amendments, you will see that if you look at the original bill that's in front of you, Bill 8, that first part, the of Section 3A, what we proposed to amend originally, it's still there. It hasn't changed. So what has been added is on the additional amendments, page 2, paragraph B and C. And I just want to explain briefly. If you read the existing piece of legislation about the 40% elected part for the kingship councils, so, honourable member pointed out, remember this is for the kingship councils, it says, and I'll read it as it currently reads, 40% of members elected democratically by an electoral college consisting of the senior traditional leaders. Nobody else. The senior traditional leaders. So it's a, even though it says an electoral college, it's still only the senior traditional leaders that are involved currently. The changes say it's 40% of members elected democratically, still democratically, but as contemplated now in the additional paragraph that the National House is proposing. And if you read that additional paragraph, those members must come from the traditional councils. Elected members, not the selected members. In other words, the people who have already been elected by people, by the communities, to serve on those councils, it must come from them, not from the selected members. So I think the proviso is very clear there to say it will come from elected members. There's not going to be a process where it's just the traditional leaders who are choosing. And if I may use just the opportunity, because it's the same principle, the other clause that the National House is proposing, the new clause there, that is clause 2, is exactly the same thing. It applies, that one will apply to principal traditional councils, while the first one applies to the kingship councils. I can also say, Chairperson, honourable members, these additional clauses is for practical reasons. It's going to make it a lot easier to constitute the kingship councils. And it is exactly what is in the other bill that's in front of the committee, the Khoisan, traditional Khoisan leadership bill. So it's the same principle that was brought in here. Thank you, Chair.
Okay.
Can I just clarify? You are saying some people are nominated. I can think that they are nominated to who's nominated.
Just in terms of how we're going to proceed, just to make sure that we move on. and we don't stay on one point. What we'll do is to indeed allow for comments to be made, and the comments having been made, we need to note whatever has been said, so that we move through clause by clause. Right at the end, we'll come back to the overall question as to whether there is overall agreement on the bill. Proceed. I'm just saying to you this is how I'm going to run this meeting. So I'm saying to you, please proceed. Yeah.
We must clarify this. We can't steamroll this. I'm saying that the 60% that you are talking about is an importation from the old homeland system. I want to explain that. I said it last week here that in the homeland system, the constitution says that 60% in the government will consist of traditional leaders and 40% of commoners, the so-called commoners. And if a traditional leader was to be voted into parliament by his colleagues, the traditional leaders they were actually nominated. They were sort of sitting down and sort of voting for themselves. If he says that side, we'll actually go over to the elections of the commoners, and he will definitely win given the fact that he's an authority in his area. Now, I'm saying that it's unconstitutional, you know, to take that importation and put it in this. We are going to challenge that one.
Okay. Any other comment? No, we'll come back to this side. Any other comment? Let's start with Malam, from there we'll come to you.
Chair, two comments. Firstly, I'm concerned that this amendment from the National House is coming at so late a stage that it precludes the full public participation process. In other words, we've had submissions from various organizations, but they haven't seen this. They haven't seen these proposed amendments that are coming from the National House of Traditional Leaders. So I'm concerned about that. The second comment relates to the issue that this is somehow separate from the TKLB. And my concern is this. When we decide on the TKLB, it needs to broadly align with what we do here. So if we're saying, and if the proposal was made that we do a 60-40, that we flip it around, that it's 40% appointed, 60% elected in the TKLB, wouldn't it make sense to start implementing that now in the Traditional Leadership and Governance Framework Act, given that in 6 months' time, the TKLB is going to repeal the Traditional Leadership and Governance Framework Act? In other words, wouldn't it make sense now to align with what the proposals are down the line? And that was a proposal that was made at a meeting of this committee a few weeks ago. Now, I hear very much that this is a council of traditional leaders. I get the structure. I get that it's made up from the traditional council, etc. My concern is that by replacing the word communities with councils, we are taking away people's rights. And when you take away people's rights, it should not be done lightly. And that's something that I think that we need to bear in mind as we go through this. And we are going through it clause by clause, exactly as per the process that you've laid out. We're dealing with clause one. So in that regard, I think that we need to be very, very cautious about the way we approach these proposed amendments from the National House.
Thank you very much. Let's then go to Nyambos and then yourself. And this is the last round, so that we can move to close two. Yes. Yambos.
Chair, I also come from the traditional leaders. I understand what I'm talking about right now. But the only concern, Chair, that I need to get a clarity, why now moving from the 1 year to 2 years, because the 1 year was also good in the fact that it was going to assist those that have not been formed to pick up the action, other than to prolong, give them a longer time sitting there not being constituted as a proper structure, this issue of 2 years. That is the only thing that is a concern to me, because you've got an intervention of a premier, you still got an intervention of a minister, so that push everybody to be in line quicker. The more we relax the time, I don't think that this can be speeded up. We are putting a lot of delay, sometimes unnecessary. So,
Honorable Maluleke.
No, thank you very much, Chairperson. You know, if we preach democracy and we don't take into consideration that traditional leadership is also recognized in our constitution, then we are going to make a lot of mistakes. Because it seems as if now we are contesting that traditional leadership should be done away with.
No.
Because every time we're saying we are taking powers off people, I don't know why we are saying that, because traditional leadership is being recognized by the Constitution. And the way the bill is saying, I don't see anywhere where they are saying people's power should be taken away from them. They were saying this one is the kingship council. And people from the ground, they've been nominated and elected to serve in the traditional council. And from the traditional council, they will be elected to serve in the kingship council. So what is the problem? Because we are saying, no, it's as if now we want to take powers from the people. How about the traditional leaders? Are we saying we don't need them?
Thank you very much. Let's come to this side. Mr. Gugus Mavundla, the DG, and the doctor of the last one.
Thank you, Chairperson and Demasonda. Honorable portfolio members, my colleague, Deputy Chairperson. Chairperson, in my previous sentiments, I said kingship and traditional leadership institutions are based on issues of customs and tradition. If and only if those customs and tradition are not in conflict with the Constitution. If you look at Section 211, Subsection 2 of the Constitution, it's very clear that traditional leadership institutions will apply law in terms of the customs and traditions as they are based on these customs and traditions. And I want to bring to the attention of the Portfolio Committee that what is appearing in the amendment is not taken from the vacuum. It is taken from the principal legislation, which is Act No. 41 of 2003, which clearly says 60% of the elected shall be nominated by a traditional leader, and 47% by the community. That legislation was not passed by traditional leaders. It was passed by parliament. So we're not in conflict with any procedure here, because the cure is from the principal legislation. And also, Honorable Member Ted, the issue of 2 years. Yesterday, Mr. Tolle correctly alluded to the fact that the issue of kingship was concluded by the Commission in 2010. But even then, the Commission has concluded its work. There are still High Court cases. Therefore, we need to give accommodation to those cases those who are ready, who have got no problem, will proceed with the election and the formation of council. But in this period, we want to accommodate the outcome of the cases, so that when the cases are done, then we are able to say they fall within this period and they elect their council.
Thank you very much,
I also wanted to clarify the reason, the rationale behind 50% and 40%. If it is flipped around in terms of the constitution, it will no longer be a traditional institution, because the role of this institution is not to deliver services and all those related things and so on. Now, you have a municipality in the same locality that is elected in that fashion, and so on, for service delivery and the other related things. Now, the first part, section 211 of the Constitution says the institution status and the role of traditional leadership is recognized. Now, if we unpack what an institution of traditional leadership is, it means the whole lot of things. And then I wanted to also quote 212, subsection 2, which says the role of traditional leaders, among others, is to deal with matters relating to traditional leadership, the role of traditional leaders, customary law, and the customs of communities, observing the system of customary law, etc. In other words, you know, if you flip it around, the likelihood of the institution to die, because it is more about preserving the institution in the manner in which ILO Convention 69, International Labor Organization 69, you know, it defines, you know, tribal communities, including the indigenous, to say it is those institutions that predate conquest, that still reflect features, cultural, customary features, and those kinds of things. Now, if you flip it around, it will no longer be an institution of traditional leadership. Because if we unpack it, the reason why there's the 40% elected, you know, so that they also participate in the whole thing and so on. In my view, I think it still preserves the institution as such. 60%, it may no longer be talking about customary related things. It's traditional leaders are not involved in that.
Doctor, I will cover it.
Thank you, Chair. On the, I expected the question of the 1 year and 2 years to come up. So just to explain briefly, when we look at kingships and queenships, I think we touched on it yesterday. Remember, they were the ones that we have, not all of them. They were recognized in 2010. And we explained yesterday that that initial 1 year period lapsed, so the councils cannot be constituted. So if you look at the paragraph B part of that first amendment, that actually deals with those that were recognized in 2010. That's why we specifically refer to the decisions taken by the Tlapo Commission at the time, so that we cover those particular ones. But as recently as last year, there was a queenship recognized. And from experience in practice, I think we also mentioned that yesterday, the preparation of the formula for the number of members of kingship and queenship councils and the consultation process actually takes a little bit longer than I think people originally expected. So the 1 year was found to be insufficient, and to be on the safe side to have enough time to deal with this, the proposal was that it be changed to 2 years. In other words, the Palubedi queenship that was recognized by the president last year, the moment that this provision comes into operation, the department and all the other role players will be able to start working on the establishment of that particular queenship council, or that in this case a queenship council. And if in future there may be any other newly recognized kingships or queenships, then the provision will be in place. The similar provision, of course, I believe, is also in the TKLB. But that is the difference. So the first part actually deals with near ones and Balubedu basically, and the second part deals with those in Slapu Commission ones that we currently do not have a legislative authority because the provision has lapsed. Thanks.
So we'll go back to Mylem and Masipe. And then after that, we'll have just one a short comment from the legal people, and then move to section two.
Chair, there are three issues here that are being kind of mashed into one. So the first relates to the one-year, two-year thing, and the original draft bill referred to the two-year time frame. That was one of the amendments in the original draft. So I don't have an issue with the two-year time frame. I really don't have an issue there. The second relates to the 60-40 percentage. Now, let me say that I think that the DG is being particularly disingenuous here by saying that by flipping it around, you're going to kill off traditional leadership as an institution. I think that's an outrageous statement to make, considering that all of those people who are on those councils are traditional leaders themselves. So I think that by flipping it around, you're not going to affect the institution of traditional leaders. And I think that it's an outrageous statement to say that we're going to kill off the institution. I also think it's an outrageous statement by the Honourable Member to say that people here want to destroy traditional leadership or want to get rid of traditional leadership. No one here has made that statement. No one here has said, let's get rid of traditional leadership. We are looking at how to make it work and work effectively. And part of that is accountability. Part of that is having representation. Part of that is making sure that these councils are properly established. So, coming back to the legislation on the table. So the second issue is the 60-40. The third, which was the issue I raised originally, is where that election takes place. And in the original legislation, in the amended legislation, I should say, from 2009, when the amendment was done, the communities elected the traditional leaders to the traditional councils and to the kingship and queenship councils. That was what the legislation said, that the community did those elections. Now we're saying, no, the traditional councils must elect the people, not the community. Now, if that's the case, we are taking rights away from the community and we're giving them to the council. That's what we are saying, because that's what the legislation said. The legislation said that the community elects the members of the traditional council. Not of the traditional council, of the kingship and queenship council. That's what it says. That's the legislation that was passed by Parliament.
Thank you very much.
And so then if you change it to traditional councils, you are taking the rights away from the people on the ground and you're giving it to the traditional council. And that's where I'm saying that rights are being removed and we need to be cautious about rights.
No, this guy. School him, Tate Matip. You must school him.
That's
what must I do?
I know. Submitting a comment, but you know, can I plead to members that and people present at the meeting that we also avoid the dialogue because it doesn't get us very far.
They must desist from prevailing over you because when somebody else talks, they mama, and putting pressure on you so that you mustn't talk from yesterday. So that kind of a thing is not right. It's not right. You are the chairperson, you are there, they shouldn't be commenting on. If I want to speak, they shouldn't say, so that you must, yeah, mustn't speak.
Please speak.
It's bad. You are from, let me not talk too much. What I wanted to say here is this, that I'm on record. previously, we have said in politics, that is, changes that are taking place at this level, in terms of legislation and other things. I said it that traditional leaders don't report back to their people. They don't. And we can test what they are articulating now, what they are standing for now, yes, against their own communities. We can test in those communities as to whether have a traditional
local leader ever stood in front of them and had sort of a workshop, not even the entire community, just the inner circle of the traditional leadership, to say this is a legislation from national level and this is what it says, so that people have, you know, have input and knowledge as to which way the country is moving. Now today here, they are representing themselves, they are not representing their communities in terms of what is happening here. You were with us, Chairperson, when we were moving around the entire 9 provinces, when people were actually, you know, sort of demonizing traditional leaders and saying the act is actually empowering a traditional leader. Now today here, we are turning around as a committee. We are stabbing the community at the back. We are not representing them. We are not articulating their interests. That is my worry. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah. And can we then, because we do want to move, colleagues and honorable members, we do want to move. We can't really be stagnating and staying on one part of the proposed bill. Madam, from your wisdom as a legal person.
Greetings to you, Chairperson, and the honorable members and everyone in the House. Again, the name is Nelele Ngema, Parliamentary Legal Advice. Chairperson, I just want to speak to three issues, and only from a legal perspective, as well as understanding what the courts have helped us in interpreting where we come from and where we're going and what the Constitution requires as the supreme law of the country. To start with, customary law is part of our law, recognized by the Constitution as well as incorporated into the Constitution like your common law and any other law that has given us the constitutional legal system that we have as we speak today. Having said that, Chairperson, in terms of Chapter 12 of the Constitution that has been to some degree read out, customary law, as I have said, is law that must be recognized, that must be applied properly, in line with the customs and traditions of the people. And hence, there is a saying that says, umuntu ngumuntu ngabantu, and inkosi iyinkosi ngabantu bayo. And just to say the last part in English, the king or the queen is the king because of its people. Hence, what we are dealing with in the proposals that have been placed today before the committee, and which seeks to correct what the introduced bill came with, so there is an additional information. And as I said yesterday, this bill is amending an existing legislation. And in the existing legislation, especially in terms of the changes that are now proposed with regards to C, by the substitution of subsection 2 for paragraph D. So what changes D into what it was in the Principal Act is to basically take out the involvement of a traditional community. But where is it taken out? It is taken out from being involved into appointing and electing people that should form the Council of the King and the Queen. And if we understand customary law, and if we are saying we are just legislating to make sure that what is done customarily is clear, is known, and is certain for everyone else, because that is what the legal principles require, that when you want to regulate upon people, be precise, be clear, and it must be simple so that there is certainty as to what is expected of them. Now, taking the background and the practicalities of what happens on the ground following customary law, we do have an appreciation that the King's and the Queen's Council is to be formed by the Royal House, following the royal traditions and how they do things. Now, what is being proposed to be amended here? We need to appreciate that there is a distinction. There are the Council for the Kings and the Queens, and then there is a traditional Council which becomes sort of a council that is a go-between between the people and the royalty. Hence, the middle council, in terms of the existing legislation, and in line with the constitution, and to open it up as a democratic structure, because our constitution and the legal system that we have chosen, we are a constitutional democratic state. It then opened the traditional council to say, you are saying you want to look after people and represent people. So let the people be part of choosing who it is that speaks for them or takes them forward. Hence, in the traditional council, which is not the king or the queenship council, the legislation has stipulated that the public, the traditional community, must be involved. Hence, the people that form part, excuse me, Chairperson, I've got a little bit of cold. Hence, the people that form part of the traditional council, that middle body, which is between the people and the royal house, or the royalty that is governing in that traditional community for purposes of customary living. There is both those that are chosen in terms of the royal system, and then there are those that are chosen out of the public who have nothing to do with royalty. So they are just mere people who are part of the community. The proposal that is being brought today, that we are, we ourselves are seeing for the first time as the Legal Services Office, is basically saying, in order now to have people that come from the community to be involved and form part of that big council, which is for the king or the council, or the queen, which customarily is the terrain and is only to be the decision of the royal house in terms of tradition and custom. This proposal is then now saying, instead of what the principal act was saying, to say it is the community again that must be involved in making sure that someone else still becomes part of the king or the queen council. They are saying because the traditional council has people that have already been elected democratically by the people at large living in that area. For the one or whatever number of the person that must be part of the king or the queen council, so that there is democracy at play everywhere where there is an institution that seeks to do something for the people. Those that came in to the traditional council through the election by the people must be the ones then who deal with the nomination and deciding who then is going now to be part of the king or the queen council. So those two councils, there is a distinction. There is a traditional council, and as I said, it's for lack of better explanation, it sits in the middle between the people and the royal house. But then the royal house, in terms of how the legislation has been drafted and in giving effect to what Chapter 12 said, in other words, in giving details, the royal house will still have its council. But for the royal house not to be the be-it-all and end-it-all, someone who comes from the community, who has been elected by the community, but for processes to move forward, that person in which the process has already occurred of the election, to eliminate all the other delays and everything else, those that are now part of the traditional council, having been elected, must now choose from themselves for someone who will then be part of the Royal House Council, which was never the case before, but it is now going to happen in line with what is being proposed, and perhaps the drafters, in line with having looked at what the Constitution requires and how to make the system work for all, in line with what the Constitution requires, as we know that the Constitution is our supreme direction. No. We cannot go outside it.
Okay.
That's basically what is being attempted to be done here.
Okay. Thank you very much. I'm sure the state legal advisor is also here. Are you happy?
Good morning, Chairperson, yeah. Honorable members. I'm Leonia Grootboom. I'm from the State Law Advisor's Office. We are happy with the proposals of the department of the regional leaders, Chairperson. What is important in this instance is that there must be a rational connection. And in this instance, moving away from the community to the council, an explanation must be given. And if that explanation, as the advisor just informed, if that explanation is rational, if it makes sense, this is how we want to move forward, then the Constitution and the Constitutional Court in case law has pronounced that that law can be amended if that is the will of the people. So that is our view, Jefferson.
Thank you very much. So we note all the point of views that have been raised. But it does seem as if there's a general overall agreement now. So let's move on to the next.
Sorry, change. You're assuming agreement.
Yeah. If there's no agreement and I'm wrong, all I'm urging for is that all the views be noted as we move next to the next section.
That's fine, Chair. You can note the views, but you can't see that everybody agrees.
Okay. No, it's fine. It's fine. Views noted. Let's look at section 2. Section 2. Yeah, if in the National House of Traditional Leaders, because this is the only written submission we have, can make a comment, that would be very useful. Ended on page 3 the last time. So we're going to the second part of page 3.
Yeah. Okay. Are we referring to the original bill or the additional amendments?
Do both.
Okay. Let me deal with the additional amendments because that's the easy and quick one. The new clause, that's on page 3 of the additional amendments proposed by the National House, is exactly the same principles that are introduced as was just discussed, but this is in respect of the principal traditional council, so it's the same principle.
Okay.
Then, would you like me to also deal with then clause 2 of the original Bill 8? Okay, in clause 2, Chairperson and Honourable Members, the amendment that comes, this is amendment of Section 28 of the Principal Act. And Section 28 deals with transitional provisions. And this is a transitional provision. I think we discussed quite a bit yesterday in the committee about traditional councils and tribal authorities that had to be reconstituted as traditional councils. And then the reasons why this may not have happened. I think it's important to note that in the memorandum on the objects of Bill 8, this a very honest discussion as to the reasons why this was not made. And to be able to reconstitute these councils, we are proposing, as I explained yesterday, that the term, the period be extended with a 1 year. And people asked yesterday, we explained why the 7 years previously and what happened, why it lapsed, and why 1 year is now sufficient. In our opinion, because it's 1 year from the, it will be 1 year from the date of commencement of this particular amendment bill. And the other paragraph B, C, D, E, F, and G there are incidental to the amendment. That is to allow provinces, for example, who do not have formulas, to use the guidelines that have already been published in the Gazette by the minister as if it is the formula. Now, people will say, why does the bill or the current act make provision for a formula and the guidelines, and should the provinces not come up with something different? we have seen in cases where provinces issued formulas that they actually took the guidelines of the minister and copy and pasted it to become the formula. So they're using the guidelines in any event. So all that we're going to do here is to make it easier for them to say, right, if you do not have a formula that you have issued, the national guidelines that are already in place will be used as if it is your formula. Chair, the paragraph B there, that's the part dealing with community authorities. In terms of the existing legislation, community authorities were supposed to be disestablished already. That is a principal decision taken by Cabinet many years ago, taken by Parliament. But what the law says, the existing law framework act, this must be done in accordance with provincial legislation. So the national law gave the enabling provision but says provinces, you must go and legislate on this. And unfortunately, they haven't. I think Northwest, if I remember correctly, is the only province who touched on this. So provinces have not made provision for this in their laws. We're not taking that away from them. I mean, obviously, it's a concurrent legislative competency, so they can still do that. But what we are saying, what we are bringing in here is an easier process for provinces to deal with this and to say, you can use this particular provision as your enabling provision to do away with the community authorities. But you need to determine very clearly what is going to happen with the assets and any other relevant, like records, and if there's a person in the office, an office bearer, what is becoming of that office bearer. I think in both instances, Chair, the important thing to note, both with the traditional council clause, the previous one, and this particular one about community authorities, we explained yesterday, and I know it was explained to you 2 weeks ago when the bill was first presented to the committee. If you look at the current framework act, the national department and minister, we have very, very little power. Because of the concurrency, everything is basically with the provinces. It's a framework act, so it gave everything to the provinces. What we brought in here is a provision to allow us to assist provinces, which we do not currently have, legally assist provinces, to help them to establish traditional councils and to help them to disestablish community authorities. That's the other important thing that came in and that you will also find in the traditional courts on leadership. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Yes.
Chairperson, I wish I was not a lawyer right now. Procedurally speaking now, not on the content, and going forth with the process. As I indicated, that unfortunately we did not get a chance to see these amendments beforehand, so as to apply ourselves and alert to correct any other thing that may not be done according to book. I've just realized and I've concurred with my colleague here that the amendments in relation to 3B that are proposed and that the committee is now getting into, it's the amendments that were never part of the introduced bill. It's a section that is not part of the bill that is before the committee. And on the basis of what our own rules, the National Assembly Rule 2864C, which reads, the committee, if the bill amends provisions of legislation, must, if it intends to propose amendments to other provisions of that legislation, seek the permission of the Assembly to do so. And where we at, we are dealing with, as I said yesterday, principal act, which means it's existing legislation, and we are trying to correct it. And as I said, in respect of this provision that wants to amend, Section 3B of the existing Act. It can be deliberated, it can be dealt with, and the committee may take its position, but this is a glitch. For us to do that and bring it as part of the report, when the committee reports back to the House, we must already have the permission of the House, which means as proceedings are continuing, the other process can run parallel to this one. So before any other report that can go to the House. Interimly, we need a report that will go to the House to seek this permission so that we enter into the terrain of the provision that was never part of the introduced bill. And with the report that goes to the House, will explain as to what has transpired and why, because it is not like the committee is prohibited from doing this, but there is procedure that needs to be followed.
Okay.
So for purposes of dealing with 3B, that is the other side that needs to be dealt with. And that's just what I wanted to bring in and alert the committee on, Chair. Thank you.
No, thank you very much. Let's move on then to comments. Yes, Madam.
Chair, thank you. Firstly, thank you very much for the legal advice here, because it's 100% correct, and it was what I was trying to allude to earlier about the fact that these amendments arrived very, very late in the day. Chair, my concern with section or clause 2 of the draft bill relates specifically to part B of clause 2, the substitution of subsection 5. I'm concerned that not only does it address subsection 5 in the Principal Act, but it also addresses subsection 6. In fact, it basically replaces subsection 6 in its entirety. So what I would propose is that somewhere in section B, that we add in by the substitution for subsection 5 and the deletion of subsection 6 of the Principal Act. And that the Act be renumbered accordingly.
Never in my life say that the member is wrong. No. 5 in the current Act deals with community authorities, and this new 5 only deals with community authorities. We are not amending or deleting 6 at all. 6 deals with other issues, the regional authorities, councils of chiefs, etc. That's another kind of structures that existed. So we are not touching that one at all. Most of those are dealt with in provincial laws already. But we have taken the lesson from 6 that was missing in 5.
Okay.
Yeah, the transfer of the assets, those things, that was not in 5. They are in 6. So we just copied from there and learned a little bit of a lesson. So 5 only deals with community authorities. Thanks, Chair.
Okay. Are there any other comments? Any other comments? It doesn't seem like there's any. Maybe the question that can then be posed as we move to step 3 of the process is whether the bill is accepted with the amendments as proposed by the legal advisor. Yes.
Chair, Chair, two things. First of all, we can't take a decision on that until we've got permission from the Assembly to include the 3B amendment. So we're going to have to postpone that until we have that 3B amendment. So that's got to go to the House, and the House has to give permission for us to consider 3B. And secondly, Chair, we reserve our rights in that regard.
Chair, now that we find ourselves here, but we have dealt with almost the broader tract of the bill, why don't we run them concurrently while we are dealing with the section that has been alluded to that we will be focusing on, rather than just to suspend the whole bill? Let's rather continue with the bill while we deal with the other section that are still need to be finalized. Just run it parallel. Because I'm told, if I heard correctly from the legal advisor, that we can run both parallel this session, other than just to stop it from here.
That's what I thought was being proposed, that we do it in parallel. Nonetheless, there's something fundamentally flawed in that approach, in this approach. Why don't I ask you, Madam Legal Advisor, just to repeat the point. Now on how we move forward.
In respect of applying the rule, Chairperson.
Yeah.
I would speak to precedent, which would put me in a safer position. What has happened previously, as I indicated in the other bills, when such an instance arises, it is normally at this point where the committee is deliberating on the bill and its content and every other issue that may have arisen, perhaps from the submissions and the interaction with the public. Hence, what happens is that, as I said, there is nothing stopping the committee from proceeding with the processes parallel to one another. The finalization of the bill, as well as making sure that every procedural aspect is complied with. Okay. And that is what I meant when I said there's nothing that stops the parallel processes running simultaneously. So it has never happened before that I'm aware of where the House has refused to grant permission in these instances. Hence, I'm saying, practically and taking everything into account, the processes may run parallel. But the final report as to whether the committee desires to take the bill with amendments or without amendments, the final report of the committee, that report cannot be finalized and go to the House for tabling without this permission being sought. I hope it makes sense, Chairperson. Thank you.
Are we happy with that proposal?
Yes.
So then, Chair, it means let's formally propose that we run this process as parallel. That's what I propose.
Chair. Yes.
Can I make the following suggestion? That we draft the report in the interim, that while the report is being drafted, that a motion be tabled in the House, possibly as early as tomorrow, requesting permission to do this, and that we then formally adopt the report next week, Tuesday, at our regular committee meeting. I think that's a logical kind of progression, because we can't adopt the report now. We don't have the report. So we can't adopt the report anyway. But while the report is being drafted, we take a motion to the House that we consider the amendment of 3B.
The comments here are numbers.
Yeah, we can adopt the report. we can adopt it while we are also going to, I agree with the suggestion that we can also seek from the House, because if they say that previously the House has never refused such permission, why are we not going on? Because, you know, the delaying of this process, Chair, we are delaying a number of things. August is close. It's a month down the line. So this is very urgent.
Sorry, Chair. My point is that we don't have a report that we can adopt right now. We can't adopt a report that we don't have in front of us. So my suggestion was that a draft motion goes to the House, and it can go tomorrow. Can go tomorrow to the House that we amend 3B. While that's happening, the report gets drafted simultaneously. And then on Tuesday, at our meeting on Tuesday, we can adopt the report. That's not unnecessarily delaying the process. That's a reasonable time frame. I mean, we don't have a report to adopt right now, so I don't know how we can adopt it, something we don't have in front of us.
Maybe let's agree to both things. That the motion be prepared for it to be tabled to the House tomorrow. Push very hard that happens. I don't know what the complexities would be, or lack thereof, in ensuring that happens tomorrow. But let's draft the motion. And come back to have a meeting at the latest next week Tuesday. Would that be fine? Would that be a good balancing act? Tempo.
Chair, I think I would agree with you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Let's close the meeting on that note. Siyabonga.
Manje unasilala uya sivimba uyabona bese ngifuna ukuthatha lamadoda ukuthi no ukuthi manje hayi uze kahle manje ayijokele manje ngoba bona bebebapolitical ukuthi hayi ngisengisho ukuthi baba bangena.
No, it's stopped now. Because I stopped with my laptop.